You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Vampire Diaries After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Vampire Diaries awake. After Show.
I'm wide awake.
Oh!
All right, we're starting the show out right.
It's Afraid by the Neighborhood. I just love the music.
Afraid by the Neighborhood. What was the song that you were singing earlier from the quote in the show?
That's what was the wording? Remember you? You remember me?
You were meant for me,
yeah.
And I was meant for you.
But that's
who the hell is that? Mandy Moore or something?
No, yeah, it's not Mandy Moore.
It's like Joel.
Oh my god! Please shut this song off.
Joel.
No,
I can't
Joel.
That song.
Joel.
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 Do you remember that song?
Why do you say it like that?
Joel's her name.
Joel.
Yeah, Joel.
Joel.
Oh my god! You said Joel.
I'm from Pennsylvania. But anyway, okay, so I use that a lot. Stefan said that to Silas. He's like,
and it reminded you.
You were meant for me.
No, he didn't.
Did he say it like that? Did he say it
like
that?
Do you remember me?
He said it like that.
I remember you. I mean, I could see where you could run with it.
All right, and we totally ran with it. Yo, what up, After Buzzers? It's your boy DJ Jesse Jenny here in studio for the Vampire Diaries Death and the Maiden.
What?
I can't. We're sillied up right now.
We are.
We're so silly. I am in studio with the silly. I can't. Kristen Snyder.
Hello.
I'm kind of warm.
Okay. You good, Lord? What is going on with you?
I have no idea.
You remember me.
All I can say is it's the universe's fault.
All right. Her doppelganger is
going. You sound like Tessa now, girl. Seriously, what the hell is with the universe?
Everybody's blaming the universe.
All right. Well, that's what we got to do. Yeah. I'm thanking the universe for granting the presence of Miss Paige Sullivan.
Hi. Oh, you should be thanking them.
Who's sitting next to the lovely and gorgeous Roxy Stryer? Are you crying?
This was a serious
She's
episode.
She's like almost crying.
Super sad.
I don't even know what's going on.
I don't know what's going on.
I honestly think we were overloaded in that episode and we've all just lost it.
I think we've all gone a little Amara'd.
Amara? Girl, be crazy.
I'm not Amara. I am Tessa.
Oh,
like,
Tessa?
I am Tessa right
now. Who are you going to kill?
I hope not. Poor Tessa.
We don't need any rituals over
poor
the Tessa.
Poor Tessa, right? I did not see the
What's
end
wrong
coming.
With you guys? Poor Tessa. Nope.
Go ahead, Roxy. You get what you need to get off your chest.
You guys were saying that throughout the whole show. I'm like, am I watching a different show than you guys? Poor Tessa. This bitch is crazy.
She's crazy.
I felt bad for her this episode.
She's been in love. All she's ever wanted was Silas to love her back.
Get over it.
I agree.
Get over yourself.
It's like,
why
are you obsessed with me?
Hateful vengeance.
Yeah.
Hateful vengeance is for people without real love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, you don't feel bad for someone like that. 2,000 years. This
2,000 years.
Is thinking about the same dick the whole damn 2,000 years.
I don't like girls that are that obsessed with men in general. Just get over it.
We don't remember that they're not like us. Like, their emotions are so heightened. Witches, vampires, all these supernatural creatures. They love 10 times harder than we love.
Are witches emotions?
I think so.
Heightened?
I don't know.
I don't think they've ever said that.
I don't think that's a fact, but she's like...
I would think
she's
so.
She's like the biggest witch of them all.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like, you know, she's
got... I do. And I mean, even the fact that she's sitting here murdering herself, and she's still like, we're gonna be together. Like,
on the other side.
Girl.
Yeah.
You need to calm down. The fact
that she never got over it all these years, and like, she went down...
like, still this way is just, like, tragic.
But she said she won. At the end, at least, didn't you guys feel it? She was like, I won.
I'm glad she feels
she
that.
Did. She did technically.
Good for you, honey.
Like, bathing oh, actually, her own blood.
No, you're right. Technically, she did win because she kept the portal open. So now her and Silas do get to be together for eternity.
Whether Silas wants it or not. Right. And Amara's stuck. Well, not stuck. Amara's living a peaceful little life on the other side. She's mm-hmm. in she's heaven or dead. Hell or she's...
So she's not in the... supernatural side.
Right, so she's living. Side. So what she's saying is she kept saying, I don't want them to find their peace together. And now they won't ever.
She did win.
So I don't think we're done with Silas and Amara.
No, definitely
Tessa.
Not.
How could we be, especially when Bonnie is the anchor now and she sees both sides?
And so can Jeremy. So Bonnie and Jeremy, as a little couple, can do some therapy sessions with the other side.
They've got a rough go of it coming.
Tessa, Silas, sit down. Let's have a talk.
Yeah. Legitimately.
All right.
I really hope we don't see any more of them. Like, I'm so ready to just get back to college now that Bonnie's going to be in college.
I thought we were going to be back, and all of a sudden, here we are again.
No, I thought they had to wrap up Silas and Amara and just and Tessa just be done with it, and now we can go into Whitmore and all of that.
And we said that, so now I'm excited to get to Whitmore.
Silas,
I just want Matt. I don't care about college. I don't care about...
You're the first person in this world who has ever been like, where's Matt? I miss Matt.
I'm not the first person. Like, where is Matt?
Yeah,
I don't think they've clearly defined the traveler's business.
It's
been thrown out there and all around the different storylines, but, like... I have no idea what they're trying to do.
What's their MO? Why are they
Are you mentioning that? Because I mentioned Matt and he has the knife?
Okay. Okay, can you guys please make me understand this? Now, the knife that Matt has is to do what?
We don't know. He just has to guard it with his
leg. But didn't we think... We thought it was going to be... either the anchor or needed to be used on Silas?
No, we thought it needed to be used on the anchor or on Silas. We first thought it was the anchor. And then last week we thought maybe it was needed to kill Amara. Now I don't really know what it is.
Okay, well, you know how the white oak is the only thing that can be used to kill the originals?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Maybe that knife is the only thing that can be used to kill something with the travelers.
Or the anchor.
The anchor. But
Amara was going to kill herself. And
I don't know.
The only reason it didn't... The other side didn't go away. It's because Amara and Bonnie switched.
I feel like Stefan. My brain's fried.
Yeah.
They just throw so much at you in this show.
This episode was a lot.
So Silas starts. He's at a bus stop talking to this couple. First of all, why is he? Where is he that he is at this bus stop?
How did
he's
get
in Philly.
There?
Yeah, he's in Philly.
Why? What is Silas doing in Philly? Like, does he want a cheesesteak?
Is that where the warehouse was? I thought it was in Jersey.
He thought it was in Jersey too. Reference.
Right. He thought it was in Jersey also. He thought he was still in Jersey.
Yeah.
But the point is that he's at this bus stop and he doesn't care where he is because the person that he's been pining over for 2,000 years, he thinks is not as in love with him as he is with her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk about feeling bad for somebody. In this moment, I felt really bad for him.
What?
He's the only person I haven't felt bad for this entire show.
What the hell?
Are you kidding me? And you feel bad? I mean, the person he's been looking for 2,000 years, the reason he's screwed everybody else over, he didn't used to be a bad guy until all he cared about was this one girl. And she's like, I'm sorry, I want the cure. And she stabs him.
All right, we have a caller on the line. I want to see what the caller thinks. Caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
Hi, it's Yandy.
It's what?
I'm from... Name's Yelly.
Yandy?
Yelly.
Okay, and what did you think of the episode tonight?
I thought it was really funny. I laughed my ass off for like the first 5 minutes.
I did too. The whole Silas on the bus bench. That was funny.
Wait, you guys really thought that was...
God, I thought it was funny.
You said what?
I did. Huh?
What did you think?
I did hate the fact that Tessa had to die, though. I started ending up liking her a little bit.
Oh, okay.
I think she's sad that Tessa died.
Yeah. I think Roxy doesn't agree with this. No.
Not,
did you
that's
feel,
not an ugh to
did
you.
Did you feel bad for Silas at all this episode?
No.
Me either.
No. Okay.
No.
Cracking up over there.
I think he's funny, but I didn't like him at all.
No. Well, what did you think about Catherine and her whole growing old situation?
God, I hope that stops because I like Catherine.
You do like Catherine? But do you think she's going to kind of go away for a while?
Probably. I would think so. I mean, she'll be back, but she's never been like a series regular, you know?
Right.
So I think she will, you know, go away for a while and then come back when you least expect it, because it's Catherine.
Yeah, she never leaves.
All right, now really quick question before we let you go. Are you team Damon or Stefan when it comes to Elena?
Do you have to answer that question?
Yeah.
Hello, Delena.
Oh, Delena.
All right, girl, well, I'm done with
Delena.
You. I'm team
Stefan. Damon and Elena. Don't put Delena in my mouth. Don't you dare.
I'm a Stelena fan. But wait, do you have a Twitter? Do you have a Twitter that
yeah,
we...
Yeah, I do.
What's your Twitter handle?
Yeah.
Jelly
loves vamps.
Loves vamps? All right, girl.
Wow.
You better do it. All right, thank you for calling in. Make sure you hit us up throughout the season.
That was fabulous.
I will.
All right. Okay.
I love how people are so passionate about this show.
You must be passionate, girl. You're crying.
It's amazing. Like, everybody has such a strong opinion about it. I just feel like I'm in a complete opposite. So you guys all have one opinion, and she agreed. I feel like I'm in, like, crazy town over here.
Girl, I don't know what happened to you from when we watched the show till you came in.
Like, was I watching a different show?
No, I feel like when Amari died, she went into your body.
Yeah, and now she's here in every kind of person.
I'm like, wait, what did she just keep saying over again? I don't know.
Yeah.
She kept saying, I don't know. I can't tell you.
I don't know. That's how I feel.
Well, I think we'll figure out what she was kind of dealing with next week when we see the whole situation with Bonnie.
With Bonnie, yeah. And so I guess that Mara, even though she was a stone, basically, she must have still been experiencing the
other
side.
Imagine being stuck in stone and having these spirits go through and feeling that pain.
I think it would be better probably because, you know, like when you are scared or whatever and you're...
Can't.
Because she can't move, so she can't react to the pain.
I'm not just playing devil's advocate. I'm serious. You know when you or whatever, and something's like tight, and you don't feel it as much, and things pass through you, and it kind of goes quicker if you just like hold your breath and hold still.
I don't think it's like solely a physical pain. I think it's emotional, and it comes out physically.
You think it's in your brain?
I think it's inside, and the only reason we see it as a physical thing is because Bonnie's screaming and yelling.
Right. I mean, we're going to have to know more about what's actually passing through her in order to understand. But to me, I would think that if Amara was feeling all these things, the second she walked out of the coffin, she would have been like, oh my God, what is these voices? But it wasn't until after she drank the blood that she was like, the voices. So I don't know if that has something to do with it.
Well, on the flip side of that, Stefan gains his guilt memories back, which this is going to cause...
And the pain.
Wait, did he gain all of them back?
Yeah. I think he got everything back because they were testing him. He's like, what happened in 1892? Yeah,
motorcycle
Or you broke my... I broke your nose by accident and then I bought you a motorcycle.
Maybe it's the depressing memories that are stronger inside of him and kind of
they're
reliving.
Harder to deal with, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't want to deal with this storyline. Like, I just feel like we're always dealing with this with Stefan. And it's just like,
baby.
I'm going to get hate from this. There's a YouTube commenter that keeps on saying, oh, you guys don't care about the storyline of the show. I do care about it. I love the show. Mm-hmm. But I hate the same damn storyline over and over again. Oh, Stefan, is he going to turn his switch on or off? Like, I feel like...
Yeah, it's too much...
How many years has it been where Stefan had his humanity switch on, he learned to control it, and now I get he's out of this control, but you gained your memories back. Why can't you just hone in on
that? Well, at least he didn't come out of the coffin or that lockbox with the humanity switch off. That would have been, like, same damn story over and over again. I'm glad that he kept the switch on, but I really do agree with you here. And, yes, I know that people are upset because they feel like we either, A, don't like the show, or, B, don't care about the storyline. Obviously, both of those are ridiculous. We're all obsessed with the show. Mm-hmm. I mean, to the point where we're in tears and, like, dying laughing. And also, the storyline is important, but as you say, it does get a little repetitive. I do have to say, I did have a problem with tonight's episode for this reason. I just felt, and I think this will be the last problem that I have, because it does seem like we're wrapping some things up. But there was just too, as I said, I miss Matt, and that's representative of more, of something bigger, you know? I have, like, almost the opposite issue of you. I like three of them, and I like to focus on Elena and Damon and Stefan and the love triangle, and then the loved ones that surround them. I don't want to deal with Silas right now. I don't want to deal with Tessa. I don't want to deal with Amara. I just kind of want our people and what's going on with them.
But also, if we didn't deal with them, we wouldn't have kind of heard Damon kind of say, well, thanks for letting, for proving to me that I'm stuck in a house with two people who are meant to be with each other, who right. are going to be with each other.
Do you think he's accepting that fact?
Yeah. I think it's something he has to accept.
I was curious about that when he said to Tessa, like, you were right and whatever. I didn't know if he was just saying she wanted to hear and make her believe he was on her side, or if he genuinely believes it. I
think it's always been kind of in the back of Damon's mind, and I think it's Elena who has to keep pushing him and being like, no, I do want to be with you. I love you, and I don't know. I think it's just...
Even the way they started this episode off, though, I miss you. Yeah. I miss you. You were my friend. It's like...
Yeah, but Damon didn't see that. I think that Damon...
No, but he can read Elena, I'm
right,
sure.
Right, of course. But I think that Damon has a tendency to see the worst in situations. He's very pessimistic. So I do think that now that this idea is in his head, now that he knows about the doppelgangers and how they always try to end up together, I think that that's literally eating at him. And we can see that. So I don't think he's positive. I think... Hopefully, in my mind, in my world, the way that the show will end up is that that drives him to fight for Elena even harder.
Right.
But unfortunately, I don't know if that's the way it's going to happen.
I don't think he's in his own head on this. I mean, he stood right there when Elena said to Stefan, what did she say in the living room? She said, you know me better than anyone. How do you say that to someone in front of your boyfriend, in front of the guy you love?
I know.
That's where I have a problem. That's where I have an issue. How can Damon look at it and say, no, she's choosing to be with me. It'll be like this forever.
That's a really good point.
Because she even still admits that Stefan knows her in a way Damon's never going to.
She didn't say in a way never going to.
But that's basically what she's implying.
I do agree. And that moment to me was gut-wrenching. But I do think that Stefan is changing. Even though he has his memories back now, I think Stefan is growing and becoming more... somebody who's suitable for Elena, the vampire
version.
He's harder.
Yeah. Like, when... I think it's dangerous to see kind of that memory when he remembered the thing opening and he broke that glass. I thought that was a really interesting moment.
What about how he says he wanted it to be Elena who opened it for him and Damon? What about that? I mean, is he accepting them a little more?
No, he's hurt.
Yeah.
I think that's what he was saying to them. Like, I was hurt that you weren't the people who opened it. I was hurt the two people I love most, whether it be as a friend or a lover or a brother, you guys weren't the ones who opened the box.
Especially after she had just kind of did that little monologue saying, I had the best summer of my life. I got love. I got everything I wanted.
Like putting salt in the wounds.
Yeah.
But okay.
And he's sitting here like, well, I just wanted you to open the damn door.
And even the fact you can tell how much... He's hardened so much to the point where he doesn't give a damn if Bonnie comes back. He could care less about Bonnie right now because he just wants to kill Silas because these memories and everything that keeps haunting him, he thinks it's because of Silas, and it's not going to go away just because Silas is dead, we're learning. But he doesn't even care about Bonnie, and Bonnie, he would have cared. You know, the old Stefan would have cared.
I thought interesting when they had Amara and Jeremy walked in, and she said, I know your face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was the
hunter. At first I was like, well, wait a minute, is this
Does
something
he have a doppelganger?
That's what I thought.
But then at the end, she's the gate.
Yeah.
So Jeremy, every time he died, had to kind of pass through her.
Right, but what was weird to me was when Tessa passed through Bonnie, Tessa and Bonnie communicated and Tessa could see Bonnie. So I don't understand why Jeremy... didn't recognize Amara from passing through
her. But do you think he really remembers that time he spent, like, the second after he died before he passed through? I mean,
well,
I doubt...
Tessa does.
I think because she's a witch and she kind of created it.
Yeah.
Tessa doesn't remember it. She's living it. I mean, she's dead. When she comes, if she was ever to be brought back to life, would she be like, oh, I remember that time right before I died when me and Bonnie talked?
Yeah, I do think she would.
You do?
Yes.
See, I do
only because it's... Tessa.
Right.
Like, I think because she is a witch of that power. But, I mean, we'll see next week. I guess next week we see that clip of, like, the older woman kind of going in through Bonnie.
Yeah.
So it depends how that's going to play out, really, to decide that part with Jeremy.
Is the universe just the balance of nature? And are you guys annoyed that they keep just saying, like, the universe is this, the universe?
You mentioned this again last week, and I don't really... explain your problem with it.
just the fact that it's kind of an easy out saying, like, the universe wants this or the universe wants this. Like, are they saying, like, this is just the balance of nature?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because if you are going to, like, they made Amara and Silas immortal, and mm-hmm. nothing can be immortal. So it creates mortal versions of that.
In order to balance.
In order to balance it out. So I feel like it's all just about nature, I guess. Mm-hmm. And the witches believe that, you know, drawing from the earth and things that naturally happen. So I think mm-hmm. it's...
Always talks about there right. needs to be a balance. Mm-hmm. You know, for one thing, there has to be the...
I'm fine when they talk about, like, the nature aspect, but I just feel like they said universe maybe, like, 20 times in this episode and last episode, and I just felt like it was, like, an easy out.
See, I don't even notice that. It's just probably a pet peeve of yours.
You just notice people's faces.
Oh, well, we won't get into that. I just think, you know... Especially for Tessa, she draws from the moon. She draws from, I don't know if she said, like, meteors and doppelgangers. She draws from these things that are in the universe that aren't directly on the Earth. And so she's pulling from bigger things. And maybe that's what they mean when they say the universe. It's that they're not, it's mm-hmm. not something physical, but it's something that's around them that they're drawing from.
It's also, if you guys watch Once Upon a Time or any kind of show like that, they always say all magic comes with a price. And although this is not magic, it's kind of like, you know, all... creatures, every special thing comes with a price. So if you're going to have immortal people, you're going to have doppelgangers. If you're going to have a werewolf, you're going to have a vampire. If you're, you know, one thing that can kill, one thing that can cure.
A circle of life.
Yeah, exactly. But you're right. They never do explain it like mm-hmm. that. And I guess that would be interesting to hear maybe from a witch or a traveler or somebody who is connected to the earth in some way.
Yeah.
They talk about making Bonnie the anchor, which is a great little... idea.
It seemed like a good
idea at the time.
There's always consequences.
I still think probably she would rather be alive and have this burden.
Well, my I guess it's kind of like a prediction or, you know, question is, these travelers, they had something that they wanted with the anchor. There was some reason they're protecting it, mm-hmm. and that's Bonnie. And if they're protecting it, that means there's something that's trying to destroy it outside of Silas, mm-hmm. because they wanted Silas alive. So I feel like there's something else going on. I don't know how long, you know, Bonnie can stay the anchor.
Yeah, with all that pain.
Not saying she's going to die, but I feel like the anchor itself, whatever it may be, can't be there forever.
You know, we've talked about how she has so many other projects going on, and we didn't know her fate on the show. And I wonder if they know her fate on the show, and they're trying to keep it, honestly, they're trying to keep it somewhat open. You know, they don't want to kill her off because she's still around, but they don't want to let us be too attached to her. You know, she's always, she's kind of in limbo.
Yeah, I don't know, but they can't really keep doing it any longer because it's honestly starting to get irritating. We've had this issue with Bonnie.
It already happened with Jeremy, too.
Yeah, but now with Jeremy, I feel like Jeremy's good. Like, we don't have to worry about him coming and going anymore. With Bonnie, it's like, well, now the door... Okay, you brought her back. You're playing with our emotions. And now she kind of could be in a place where she may go back to the other side. Yeah. And if she goes back to the other side, does that go back to her being ghosts and only Jeremy can see her? It's just too much with the whole giving us Bonnie, taking her away, giving her to her. I'd rather it just go back to... Well, hey, I'm in town this week, or, you know, maybe she goes to another coven to learn more witch stuff. Like, I'd rather that than this whole, like, is she going to live? Is she going to die? Is she going to live? Is she going to die?
If we're going to have someone on the other side, I wish it was Alaric. I love when he's on the other side. Yeah. Did you guys miss him at all?
Oh, yeah. I loved Alaric's character, but he's gone.
So he was...
No, he was on the other side. Remember when the gates opened? He came back because he was...
a hunter.
Yeah.
Vampire. Wasn't he a vampire hunter of some sort?
Well, he was like,
he wasn't like Jeremy,
but he was like his own sort of
breed of situation. So I keep saying to myself over and over, what is this knife thing that's gonna kind of happen with this being the key to?
I think it's crazy they didn't address it for two whole episodes.
Yeah, and I wonder if it's gonna have something to do with having to kill Bonnie or whoever's, you know, the big bad that's coming, if they need that knife to kill Bonnie, to close it, to open it, to do something with it. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, what are we going to do with this other side? It seems to be a problem every season.
Do we think that the new big bad will be the St. Augustine vampire?
Yes.
Okay.
I think we're moving away from Silas and Amara. I think we're moving away from all of that. we'll have stuff with the Travelers and I think with Whitmore.
Going back to talking about the knife for a second, it's confusing. Let's just go over who's protecting who and who wants who alive and who wants who dead.
Wait.
Whoa.
So who's protecting who? The Travelers are protecting this knife by putting it with Matt. Mm-hmm. And they want to protect the knife for unbeknownst reasons.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now we've got...
Which means they would probably also want to protect Bonnie. Now that she
well, they wanted
the
to protect. They also wanted to protect the anchor, and they wanted Silas alive. Right. Well, guess what? Silas is dead.
Right.
Maybe.
Now they're gonna be so now do they care if Bonnie's
yeah,
alive?
We don't know if Silas is
they
fully
said
dead.
He is, but... He's like on the other side now.
Yeah. Well, we didn't
they
see,
could always pull him back.
We didn't see Silas pass through Bonnie.
Right.
We did not see that. So unless he was dead prior to Amara killing herself, prior to like that switch, you know, if he was already dead up against that tree, and he passed through Amara, but we also didn't see anything. Like Amara wasn't like screaming and actually she was screaming and writhing in pain. Do you remember
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right before.
Oh, yeah, and I said, what just happened?
She was screaming,
that's what it was.
But I didn't know if that was the switch or if that spell. Was the pain, or is that the pain of Silas going through
that
her?
That must have been Silas going through her, because then she immediately ran to him because she knew he was dead. That must have been what it was.
Oh.
Smart.
That's a good
because
point.
I was wondering if it was the spell that was, like, hurting her head or something, or maybe it was Silas passing through her. Maybe Silas was just going to the other side.
Mm-hmm. Good one. Silas is sitting here, and he thinks, you know, Amara needs to die. He wants to put her pain to an end. And then we get the Tessa Amara meetup.
Well, no, putting the pain to the end, though, that was such a romantic. Didn't you guys love that moment?
Okay, he wanted to put her pain to an end. He wanted to get rid of the other side, and he wanted to be with her on the other side. You know, it was all about, it was a means to an end for all of them.
I just love that he goes, I understand, and he let go, and he was like, kill it. I just thought that was so beautifully done.
Oh,
okay,
I thought
it was beautifully done until he then said, I'm not going to help you, Damon, because that's what Elena wants, and I'm not going to...
Oh, so you're talking about the
earlier.
End, you're talking about the end scene. I agree with
no,
you.
No, but I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah.
All those things together.
Obviously, that was annoying. I'm just talking about the very end.
Wait, I don't... It's trash to
that's
me.
That's the thing. I have not liked Silas one bit. I've never felt for him. I've never felt for Silas.
I didn't feel for it. It was cute. It was very Romeo and Juliet tonight.
I felt for... Amara, I did in that instant when she's crying and she's like, I cannot live. I love you. I still do, but I cannot do this.
Amara, I feel she could see dead people. She'd see alive people. She's hearing all of these voices and nobody ever sits down and explains, this is what a doppelganger is. This is the year you're in. You know, this poor, I felt bad for her too. She's like, I can't live here. Well, kill me, please. I really felt bad.
Yeah.
She didn't do anything wrong.
Also,
she stole her like boss's husband or fiance or she wasn't the best girl.
The handmaiden.
Like, wait a minute. I also kind of think it's interesting how easily Amara just was like, yeah, you know what? Let's go upstairs and do this witch thing. Go ahead, cut my hand open and let's...
She wanted to die.
She has nothing left to... She was didn't care. It was her last option.
I really liked when she was like, I know my sin was falling in love and I'm sorry. I really loved
that
part.
Deep, I'm saying the whole... Yeah, it was great.
It was cute on her behalf.
Yeah, I was confused though. She's like yelling back and forth like, I don't know. And she's like screaming at these people going crazy. And then the next second, as soon as she sees Jeremy and Bonnie, she's like, oh, hey, what's going on? And she's like having conversations and she's sitting in that room letting her cut her hand and she's not freaking out. She's not talking to dead people. She's just a normal person, it seems like. How come one minute she's crazy and the next minute she's fine?
She by no means seemed normal to me.
She seemed normal in comparison to when
she was
in a
cell.
Maybe just because of the recognition of something familiar.
What do you guys think she was saying I don't know to?
A person.
Yes, but what were they at?
I mean, it could be someone dying and them saying, why am I here? Why am I seeing you? I don't know. It could be any of that.
Well, you don't think we're going to find out?
No, I think we'll find out next week when
we
see what Bonnie has to deal with through it. Mm-hmm. Little just note to everyone out there, I usually have a Buffy reference, but I don't this week. I have a Charmed reference. when they stabbed all of their handprints and they put it over the book, Bonnie's little witch book, which was as thick as the book from Charmed, it made this charm symbol, and I thought that was interesting because the charmed is always the power of three will set them free.
Oh, and so that was three doppelgangers.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, also loved that moment, you know, when you're seeing the difference between all of them. They stab Amara, and she's a little dramatic about it, and Catherine's like, be easy. But she grabs the knife so hard and looks so intense. And then Elena rubs it in her face and just, like, sprinkles her blood.
Which was such a Catherine move I know. For Elena to do
But
that.
Now Catherine's the human and Elena's the vampire. They've almost switched roles.
And I don't... You know, as much as Elena is nice or puts up with Catherine, she doesn't like her and she doesn't really feel like she has to deal with her.
That's true.
Or be nice to her.
That's true. So they do the magic spell and, you know, Silas stops the ritual. He knocks the lights out. Tessa and Amara are missing. And then we get to Tessa versus Silas, in which he stabs Tessa. Now, how, Roxy, how could you not feel for her in this scene?
Tessa?
Yes. When he killed her and was like, you're pathetic, basically, like...
And I don't know how you can... Don't bring up the loving somebody for 2,000 years because Silas has been running around trying to get back with Amara for 2,000 years.
Right. That's true. I think they're both like... I don't know. I mean, I've been there. I've been in love. I get it. It sucks when the person doesn't either love you back or you can't find... Whatever it is, that sucks.
But Amara's probably sitting there like, I wish I did not sleep with this man.
Right.
Like, should have listened to my mom.
Right.
No, the problem is she doesn't ever think that.
Amara?
She still loves him no matter what. Yeah. She's still madly in love with this guy.
Well,
okay,
was,
going back to our song references. Our song references earlier, you guys know that Cher song is like, do you believe in life after love? So that's what I think. Like, do you believe in life after love? Yes. Like, 2,000 years? Come on. There's life after love. There just is. I would like to think.
Well, maybe we need to put her on to Cher.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know. And I should never sing again on air. I'm really sorry.
I'm not.
That was a great song.
I sang earlier. I'm not sorry.
Well, because you have a great voice.
No, I don't.
This is a little painful for me.
So, yeah, then we get, you know, Stefan stops Silas from killing Amara. He stabs Silas. Silas is dying. Amara stabs herself.
Oh, my God.
And we were, like, just going through the whole Romeo and Juliet thing.
Yeah, I was like, what's happening? I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah. And thankfully, we got Bonnie back. That was a great scene.
And thankfully, Silas is hopefully dead.
That scene did give me chills. When Bonnie came back and the girls could see her, that honestly did.
That was a great
It was a little melodramatic, but it didn't bother me in the least.
I was not furious. I was pretty ticked, though, that she's coming back and she's holding Jeremy's hand and he tells her he loves her and then they can feel each other. And she's like, I'm alive. And there's no kiss or anything right there. She just hugs her friends.
Everyone, dance break.
There we go.
All right, our dance moves will be on talk too. Thank you, Steven, for doing that.
But I just feel like in that moment, why was she hugging them?
I'm just going to make a side note. I always imagine some of the dumb things we do on AfterBuzz, how none of them have gotten any sort of viral and be like, look at these idiots on AfterBuzz.
We don't need music.
But go ahead. No, but go ahead.
No, I was just saying that she turned around and hugged Elena and Caroline when she should have been kissing Jeremy because Jeremy has been fighting for her
and been
this
by
whole
her side.
Chicks before dicks, man. Yeah.
Why would you try and pound the person who's not agreeing with you?
Is anything I'm doing making sense tonight, Jesse?
Absolutely. No, I agree with that. It would have been really a great full moment, but you did. All of us were like, they did finally kiss.
It was cute because it's her best friend. But, you know, Jeremy and you have been talking. It wasn't satisfying for me to have the kiss like a scene later.
Yeah,
I was kind of like over it. I was like, okay, you've been reunited. I wanted to see it right then and there. I wanted to feel like the desperation.
In front of everybody.
Who cares? I think that's the thing about love. I think that's the thing about love. You haven't been able to touch this
What's
person.
What's the thing about love?
You gotta show it.
No, like, you don't care. Like, if you've been separated from the person you love by, like, this weird wall, and then they suddenly were there, I think you wouldn't care what was happening around
right.
you.
Right. All you get is a hand
I
to
agree.
The cheek. Like,
that would have been nice.
Even if it was just a quick makeout sesh and then going over to the friends.
Or even just, like, a one big kiss and then just... Then they could have all hugged. Like, group hug... done that.
I felt like that moment was with the girls, like, you don't know what you have until you don't have it anymore. It was all, like, them, you know, so happy that she's back.
Yeah, I mean, she's been able
make
to
make the most of it.
Yeah, she's been able to talk to Jeremy. And
this is a unique show, guys.
We got torn apart last week. Oh, my God. This week's going to be so much worse. We love you guys. We really do. I'm sorry if you're upset with
us. I read a lot of love comments.
Yeah, in the Vampire Diaries. I think the Vampire Diaries, this show is just so crazy. There's just so much going on.
Well, I want to talk about Catherine. So Catherine, she goes to Dr. Maxfield. She finds out her blood's clean. She's just aging. And
because
then,
she's 500 years old.
Yeah.
Right, but this is another thing of Vampire Diaries. It just kind of doesn't make make sense. It's like, okay, so she was fine for however long, and now she starts noticing these changes.
But we don't know because she had the cure in her, though.
Yep. Okay.
Oh, right,
and that's what's changed her now.
Yeah, but once the cure's gone, that's when she becomes old.
We hear she has a couple months to live, which means that this storyline's going to drag for a little bit. She's not finding the cure to the oldness tomorrow.
No. She's not going to find it. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
Right.
And
do you think it's going to get better?
Yes, yeah. I do. Yeah. I do. I agree with... I think even a lot of people commented on the YouTube video. Like, they love Catherine. I think one person said, I love that she's just a bitch. Like, yeah, I love I that she's a bitch too. Or something. And I think that's why we like her. She juxtaposes Elena. You know, Elena can get annoying, and then you have Catherine. And if we only had Catherine, we'd want a little bit of Elena.
I mean, but it's going to be interesting to see how she can survive because she can't drink vampire blood.
Right. Which we learned, which I was interested to see.
She's getting older. I think obviously we're not done with Nadia, even though Nadia says she's going and walking away. I think Catherine's, you know, comeback moment is going to be when she realizes she does want that bond and that humanity from her and Nadia.
Because that was brutal, what she said to Nadia, like, this is the last time you'll ever see me again.
It was brutal, but it's just hurt. It's more brutal towards Catherine because I think it's just so much hurt. And like,
Are you saying her hurt?
Hurt.
Both. Oh, I think it's more her, Catherine, feeling that hurt. It was brutal to say to Nadia, but I think it was more brutal for Catherine to say it because I think it's something that she wanted and it hurt her for so long and she's probably gone through it, and that's probably why she is a bitch. Because her child was taken from her and then all these things happen.
And she went back to look and the child was gone.
But I feel like she's saying all this stuff not because she doesn't want that mother-daughter time, but because she wants to protect Nadia from the fact that she's dying and she would have to, as soon as they get close, she would die.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I saw it. I saw it. She was pushing her way to protect her because the second they get close, she's going to get ripped away again.
Mm-hmm. I think so too, even if it's subconsciously. Which
but maybe Nadia can save her, like you're saying, that mother-daughter relationship. If she finally gives into it, that might be the thing that saves her, is like her actually being genuine human for once.
It's either going to be that or something about doppelganger blood. You know, either she either needs her daughter or her doppelganger.
It'll be like Elena saving her like that. It'll be interesting to see.
Or Bonnie will say a spell.
Yeah.
I don't know. Bonnie's got her own.
I don't know if Bonnie can do magic as the anchor. I don't know if she can, like, practice as an anchor.
I think so.
I'm going to say yes, because they need a witch in the story.
I actually wonder if she'll kind of be a little bit stronger because she'll be able to draw from both sides.
That's true. That's interesting. Could she draw from Tessa? She's like, come here, Tessa.
I would think so, because, I mean, isn't that what happened
with Tessa? Tessa has to say yes, though.
Her grandmother.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I didn't understand why Tessa had such an attitude with Bonnie when she crossed over.
Yeah, she's like, you're going to feel all this pain.
Yeah, like, okay, girl, what did I do to you?
Yeah, she didn't. She did nothing.
No, and they aren't that was, I didn't, I'm not crazy for thinking that. It didn't make sense.
And aren't they from the same bloodline? Of witches?
I don't know.
I think so.
Where did we learn that?
Somebody commented the other week on our YouTube video, so I went back and looked, and I think that they're from the same bloodline.
I don't know. I could be wrong.
Yeah. It was not family friendly. Yeah. I'm 50-50. I'll go check for next week, but...
Well, Tessa hasn't really been soft towards anyone. Like, she's been, like, the old Catherine bitchy attitude towards just about everyone. Like, I haven't seen her be soft.
She makes me laugh, though. I have to say, if nothing else, her and Silas made me laugh. At the beginning of this episode, I thought Silas was so funny on that bench. Just the things he was saying, love is fickle, buses are not, those are tried and true. I was like, okay, like, what is happening? Or even the way he's, like... They're called administrative assistants now. It's like with all
the gas prices. Too funny.
The gas prices. Yeah.
People really seem to care about that.
You know, it's killing me.
Yeah, like, and then Tessa said the whole, oh, this seems like a sitcom. And
that one made no sense because it's like, girl, you've been watching TV.
Yeah, and
well,
the gas prices thing and the Chinese food reference. And then last week they had the gluten-free Snooki reference pizza. Like, I'm just like, where is this?
Toxic poisons.
Adding in like this pop culture like terms, and I'm like, why? Yeah,
it's very Buffy.
Yeah, I actually kind of like it. I think I enjoy it a bit.
It adds a little bit of fun.
The Snooki one bothered me, but other than that, I'm okay with
it. Yeah, please don't bring Snooki into that.
Yeah, it only bothered me. It was too specific, and really, of the 1,000 years that you've been alive,
that's your reference.
That's your New Jersey point.
It's Snuggie. Just bothering me because they haven't ever done it before. In the past two episodes, there's been, like, specific pop culture references, and I'm just like, what? It takes me out of the storyline, honestly.
A bit,
well,
yeah.
It didn't take note when it, because it's those two characters. Now, if it's kind of like, well, actually, I mean, who was it? Damon has made them before because he brings up the what's that movie called
witty.
The Twilight reference. You know they kind of go back to that.
I expect them from him,
but I think like, it's different because we're getting it from new people now, and so it's like three people making these references. Whereas I feel like everyone else doesn't have to make the references because they're living it.
Yeah.
You know, Elena and Bonnie and Caroline—they're living right now, so they don't have to be like, "Oh, let's go see Snooki." I mean,
yeah. And why did we bring up the gas issue? The gas prices, like what?
I think he was just talking trash to the phone. How do you feel about Paul Wesley playing? I mean,
I think he's hysterical. I think he's great.
Amazing actor.
I thought that Nina was killing it, doing such an amazing job, and I was like, I don't think anybody else could do what she's doing. And I think Paul did an incredible job handling these characters.
Mm-hmm. I agree. One question I've had, and I should have addressed it when we were talking about Catherine, but with Dr. Maxfield, we compelled him, or Caroline compelled him last episode. Why didn't she just ask him where Jesse was? She knows they, like, work together. Because that was something that we saw briefly, where I think Jesse's going to become a bigger issue as well. Why doesn't she just ask?
Did
like,
she know Jesse,
Jesse
was missing at that point?
Yeah, he'd been missing for... She said he missed their, like, study
group. Well, she
group
probably
and,
wasn't worried.
Right, that's what I'm
because
saying. Because
it seemed like this episode
point.
She
right,
made the stamp
I feel
of
like she can go back. And do and what ask. She did and ask.
Well, maybe that's what we'll get next week because I feel like they just didn't want to add that storyline in yet. I feel like you said, now we're going to get more of the Whitmore and that, which will be really – I can't wait for that. I want college.
Yeah.
That's where I want to be right
me
now.
Me too.
I don't know. On that note, let's head into predictions. I don't even know where to start for a damn prediction.
I wrote these somewhere.
Well, we know something about how Stefan is unable to move on. He thought he was going to be able to move on, but now he can't. I don't know what he thought moving on looked like. Did he think like he would feel okay or things would be okay? But I know that he's saying he cannot do that.
And it looks like Stefan grabs Elena's throat.
Yeah, like he was strangling her.
Well, I
or
think
something.
It's like PTSD, kind of, you know? And he's having post-traumatic stress disorder, and he's just like lashing out. He doesn't know where to put these emotions and the feelings that he's having. So he's lashing out at Elena. And I think.
Because he has the most emotion for her, maybe?
Maybe. I think it's even just. Whoever's close, I mean, we don't know what the situation was when it went down. Like, if she was just the closest person to him and he's having a flashback of drowning or fighting with someone, he's just going to reach for her throat. Doesn't matter.
The other person we see in so much pain is, of course, Bonnie, who's dealing with all these consequences. Mm-hmm. And we see, as you said before, the old lady who's going through her. What do you guys think is going to happen there?
I mean, they're either going to do two things. They're either going to eventually kill Bonnie off this season, or they're going to remove her from being the anchor. I mean, or I guess they could. Bonnie's always one to kind of overcome stuff to become maybe a high priestess of some sort, in which she is the kind of guardian of
the gate.
Yeah.
I
feel like all the only
where
options,
would you see it going?
Well, the only option I feel is that she has to learn how to cope with what's happening and do it in a way that doesn't hurt so bad and isn't so painful, or she won't be the anchor anymore, whether that is because she is dead or because
the
somehow
travelers.
She doesn't become she becomes human again or vice versa. Yeah, I think the travelers are going to play a part in this whole anchor business because why else would we have had that whole couple episodes?
Yeah, and we still have the knife, so they're definitely.
Do you guys think we're going to get Catherine in the next couple episodes?
Yeah,
or do you think she's
going to
kind of go away for a little bit?
I hope that she goes away. Honestly, I want to be at college, and I don't want to deal with Stefan being emo at all. Like,
well, we're
I,
definitely dealing with that.
Yeah, I want to go to college.
Well, I think we probably will. We'll
I
probably
love
get
college.
Scenes from.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we're going to get Caroline dealing with the college, Elena dealing with Stefan. I think Catherine's going to be gone for like 3 to 4 episodes. They'll bring it back. And I definitely think Matt's coming back next week.
Oh, I hear
we didn't see him in scenes from next week, though.
Yeah, but
they didn't really show. They didn't really show a lot for next week. They showed Stefan and Bonnie. That was really.
I want my Matt back!
Matt, get your ass to college.
He's not going to college.
No, he ain't going to college. he lucky if they might let him stay out, come to the school grounds.
Right.
On that note, we want to thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you guys hit us up at AfterBuzz TV, The Vampire Diaries on iTunes. Subscribe to our podcast. Help us get to number one. It's
Woo!
Free. Download us. Leave us a comment. We love your comments every single week. Keep them coming to us on Twitter, Instagram, me at DJ Jesse J.
At Cinematic Escape.
At Paige Sloan.
At Roxy Stryer.
Till next week, same time, same place.
Peace. From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.